Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, if you are thinking about dinner, my suggestion is going to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue. And I absolutely love this place. Everything is so good on the menu. If you like smoked ribs, they've got it. Smoked wings, outstanding. They smoke their meatloaf as well. Non-barbecue items, outstanding. I talk about the chicken marsala all the time because it's great. And every barbecue place has to have great sides, right? Well, they do. Baked beans, fantastic. Mac and cheese. My almost 13-year-old daughter likes it better than Kraft macaroni and cheese. And trust me when I tell you, if you have kids, you know that is a compliment. We're going to be giving away $20 in the second hour of the show. Mace, how are you?
I'm doing very well, except outside, kind of smoky. Got the fires in Arizona and Utah, unfortunately. So there's, if you've been around outside, you see that kind of smoke in the air. Not a good day to be outside for an extended period of time right now, unfortunately. Yeah. But I am doing well. Yourself?
Doing well. Been a busy day. Busy.
Aren't they busy for you?
They're always busy.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
That's kind of par for the course.
Yeah.
Are you golfing this weekend, speaking of par for the course?
As a matter of fact, I am. Golfing with a buddy of mine, Thomas, on Saturday. I think he's bringing his buddy TJ Ward. Ever hear him?
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with him.
I think TJ's playing with us, and then Mandy and I, and then Monday.
TJ's entertaining. He'll probably have a lot of fun.
We'll have a blast, I'm sure. Even if it's not TJ, Thomas is a blast.
Yeah.
And then on Monday, Mandy and I are playing in the Cancer League of Colorado charity tournament, an event that I do every year as their auctioneer, and I'm excited to be doing that. We're going to be playing with a friend of mine, Murphy Houston. Do you know Murph? He's a radio guy in town.
Okay.
So Murph, and then the guy who runs the show, we're going to be playing with him. And so it's going to be a blast. So a lot of golf over 3 days and just trying to get through the week. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Marco's Pizza in Aurora, where everything is fresh, never frozen, like the dough and sauces to go with hand-cut meats and veggies. Order today at either location, off Smoky Hill Road or Quincy in Aurora.
All right, what'd you see at camp today?
What did we
see? Oh, wait, don't tell me. We're going to talk about the quarterbacks. Who won the day? Honestly, that's how we have to frame it.
Jerry Jeudy won the day. Jerry Jeudy had a really good day. Now, I would say Jerry Jeudy helped Teddy Bridgewater win the day.
Okay. Well, they work well together. They have become quite the dynamic duo, haven't they?
They are on the same page, and I think it says a lot for both of them. Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio both praised Jerry Jeudy, the work ethic he's come to OTAs with this spring. But we always see it. There's a quarterback tends to find a groove with one guy kind of above others, and the groove that Bridgewater has found is with Jerry Jeudy. They had three connections today, including one for a touchdown, and that was the play of the day. They're in red zone, and you've got Jeudy on Pat Surtain. A fun matchup to watch. Jeudy with a nice cut to generate a little bit of separation, not much. Surtain had really good coverage. Jeudy just drops it in. It couldn't have been better placed. Jeudy is running a quick out to the sideline.
Was he the first
zone.
Was he the first option?
I believe he was.
Because we talked about Drew Lock yesterday. He's hitting the first option.
I believe he was the second option.
Well, then I'm impressed.
Because looking at Bridgewater, he kind of turned his head a little bit. Now, he may be in his mind always thinking that Jerry Jeudy is my number one guy that I'm going to go to. But not, but there's a difference between guy being first option and first read. You have a first read, but then in your mind, you might be thinking, okay, I want this to get to the guy who's my second read. And in this case, he drops a pass, perfectly placed. Judy gets both feet in as he's headed toward the sideline, just past Surtain. It's a very, you know, a fade route. It wasn't a fade route, but it was in that area of the end zone where you're throwing fades. That's a very difficult play to defend if you throw that properly.
Okay. I want you to rank it. What was better, the throw, the catch, or the coverage? And I say coverage because you can have great coverage, but have a perfect pass and no one is breaking that
and
up.
And that's why I'm going to say it's the throw and then the coverage and then the catch.
Well, you know what? Then it's a win, win, win for everybody.
Because Surtain doesn't really do a lot, doesn't really do much wrong there. Sometimes it's one of those in baseball, you know how they say sometimes you just got to tip your cap?
Sometimes you do.
If you're Pat Surtain, you had to tip your cap to Jerry Jeudy. But Surtain had a good day. Jeudy had a good day. And actually watching Bridgewater today, and if you're doing the scorecard, yeah, he was the better quarterback today. He didn't have any turnovers. He was generally on target. Actually ran for a touchdown as well in the red zone period, in addition to the one that he threw. But of the last four practices that we have seen, Eric.
I know my name.
Yeah, I know, but I like to say your name. It's kind of a friendly thing.
That's okay, Andrew.
Yeah. You say my name.
I just did.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. It's fun to say your name from time to time.
Is that a shirt from the movie Major League?
It is, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
It looks like pajamas.
I'll take that as a compliment, even though I don't know you don't mean that as a compliment.
It's not whether I mean it or not. Yeah. Danny, doesn't that look like pajamas, that top?
It looks like a print that might be featured on pajamas as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's a very nice shirt.
Thank
it's actually it's one of the best sports movies of all time, in my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah. And you match perfectly because you, well, kind of. I mean, you're going with the Native American theme, but that's a Braves hat and an Indian's shirt.
Yeah.
Did you plan that? Are you?
No, I didn't plan it. I put no thought into it.
You know how it's like, you know how it's like pizza, National Pizza Day or National Ice Cream Day. Is it National Celebrate Native Americans Day? And I missed the memo.
Yeah, but I look those up because my daughter's very interested in days of the week, days of the year. Like if it's National Ice Cream Day, my daughter's like, we got to get some ice cream.
Of course.
She's not wrong. But
what if it's National Cocaine Day?
There's a line that you don't cross.
I don't do cocaine.
Maybe you have Coca-Cola because
I like the way it smells, well, no. But I don't do it.
Maybe you have Coca-Cola because back the original formula of Coca-Cola had cocaine in it. That's why it's called Coca-Cola.
Oh.
So, where were we before
so
this
what's Pepsi?
Digression?
What's Pepsi? Like Pepsid? AC? Like the thing
there was
for
no Pepsi.
Heartburn? So, okay, so Jerry Jeudy made a very nice catch.
And he had a couple other catches. But interesting that just looking back, because I want to take...
Look, a squirrel. See, I can't even concentrate on the show today.
Yeah, well, my shirt's the squirrel, right?
It's hard to stop looking at. I got to tell you,
there was you're not the first person to note the shirt. I've had compliments on this shirt today.
Compliments?
Yes.
Was Jim Armstrong at practice today?
No, Jim Armstrong was not.
Okay.
Our friend Sean Keeler was.
Oh, I could totally see him wearing that shirt.
Sean loves this shirt.
I bet he does.
He's
totally
a major league
see...
enthusiast. We would be happy to just recite scenes from the movie for you.
I could totally see Sean Keeler loving that shirt.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I mean that as 100% of a compliment.
Well, you know. Anyway, so Bridgewater, back to the original point.
Fuck a squirrel.
There have been five practices that we have seen in the media. And the first one, kind of, you have to say a push, and neither quarterback really moved the needle that day. But Bridgewater has been better in three of the last four that we've seen. And the one that he wasn't better was the day that Jerry Jeudy was out for most of it because of a stomach issue. That was the first day of minicamp.
That was yesterday.
Exactly. And that's the word. Drew Lock was clearly better. Now, we talked about how it played to Drew Lock's strengths.
A lot of people
yesterday.
Don't think he was clearly better.
Well, no.
Maybe
but like
a
I
little
said,
bit better.
He played, played to his strengths. But today, Drew Lock, the game plan, or the practice plan, I should say, it didn't play to his strengths. He had an interception that came when he was going through his progressions, held the ball too long.
Other than the interception.
And Simmons jumped
Other than the pick.
Yeah.
How was he? Not that you can take it away, but other than the pick, how was he as good as yesterday?
No.
So, again, we're coming back to consistency.
Right.
As a former Bronco said to me about yesterday's practice, I need to see it tomorrow. And we're not seeing it consistently.
Yeah.
Which kind of sums up his NFL career.
Not a good game, good game, bad game, good game,
not such a good game.
I think that if there's one distressing thing about Drew Lock today, it is that the interception, he kind of held it, he looked short for the tight end, and then Justin Simmons jumped it as, you know, he's an all-pro safety. He's a very good safety. But it was very similar in play and how it went to an interception that Drew Lock had in 7-on-7 during OTAs, looking for the tight end, looking short, kind of locking in on him, pardon the pun, with his eyes, and Justin Simmons reading it. And yes, Simmons is one of the league's best safeties, but it's not like he's the only good safety that you're going to see. You're going to see Derwin James twice.
You're going to see Tyrann Mathieu
twice.
Think about what we talked about yesterday. You said Lock had a near interception, and it was a second or third teamer, and I said, well, what if it was Justin Simmons?
Uh-huh.
And you said to me, well, Justin Simmons did drop one.
But it went off the receiver's hands, so right. It was an on-target pass that was bobbled.
And you said, well, Justin Simmons does drop interceptions. Did he drop one today?
He didn't drop one today.
No, he didn't. Coming up after the break, we asked Pat Shurmur, well, the media did, I should say, what goes into picking a quarterback? You think people are going to like the answer?
Depends if they have a horse in this race between Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock.
You know what their horse in the race is? Keeping their job.
Yeah. The coach's horse.
Keeping their job. Yes. That's their horse in the race. That's next. Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake.
With Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason watches MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale, not retail, wholesale lumber to the public, if you're looking to build a fence, a deck, siding, anything, baby crib, whatever, don't pay retail, pay wholesale at Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge, or go to rmfp.com. By the way, you can listen to our show on the go. You may not know that. Download our app, Mile High Sports. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Mighty Plumbing and Heating. Why does Mighty Plumbing and Heating have nearly 155 star reviews? No one has better service, and they will meet or beat any written offer. Go to mightyph.com.
You know, we haven't heard from the Broncos coordinators the entire offseason until this afternoon.
Yes.
And let me ask you this, my friend.
Oh, now I'm your friend.
When are you not?
I'm flattered. Well, thank you.
Who do you think has more say in the quarterback decision, Pat Shurmur or Vic Fangio?
It should be Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
But Pat Shurmur will convince Vic Fangio of what he wants, and Vic Fangio should listen.
Yes. That's why Fangio has the final say.
Yeah.
But certainly the words of Pat Shurmur, and probably to a lesser degree Mike Shula, the quarterback coach, are quite relevant in that decision. Well, Shurmur spoke.
I'll give you something else.
Go ahead.
I mean, if we're being completely honest here, it's not that Vic has made it a well-kept secret. He really does concentrate on the defense.
Yeah.
My guess is he doesn't spend a lot of time watching the quarterbacks. Clearly he does, but he's in charge of the defense.
From a defensive perspective, perhaps, he's watching the quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah. And here's the thing. People who are good leaders hire people who they trust and they value their opinions. Kind of like Danny is a very good example. Our relationship is built on trust and confidence. I have no trust in him, and he has no confidence in me.
Yeah. That's a good joke.
It's not a joke. It's the truth. It's the truth.
I know. But you use that. You've used that before.
That's what I say.
The about trust and confidence.
That's what I say about Mandy and I. Now I'm saying it about Danny.
It's kind of
pretty
like,
soon it's going to become.
It's kind of like great minds think alike and fools seldom differ.
Well, right. You have a right to your opinion as long as you agree with
mine. Oh, now we're back on that.
All right. Go ahead.
That one again. Well, Shermer's going to have a significant say in this. And I would say, like, for Vic Fangio, you got me kind of thinking about something. Rich Gangarello had his merits, but he was probably the wrong kind of offense coordinator for Vic Fangio.
But he was the right kind of offensive coordinator for Drew Locke.
Yes, but he was the wrong kind for Vic Fangio because you probably need somebody like Shermer who had been around a long time, had seen a lot, and had even been a head coach. Effectively, he's the head coach of the offense. And he talked about what goes into the quarterback decision that he's going to make. There's a lot of hard data, but as he'll share, there's something really important that goes into his decision making.
Well, there's the hard data. You want to get more completions and you want less interceptions. You want to throw touchdown passes. I mean, all the hard data. But when we look at it, I'm kind of looking at it generally too, or when this guy's in there, are less bad things happening? When he makes a mistake, is it catastrophic or is it something that we can correct? And it's all the things that you look at, and that's why it's important that you practice because, again, it's as I mentioned earlier, it's a coordinated effort that really goes through the eyes of the quarterback. And a lot of times how he executes can help help the rest of the team play better. And so, there's some there's obviously the objective and then the subjective stuff that we look at.
When you hear that about bad things, mistakes, and wondering if the mistakes are catastrophic, what does that indicate to you about what he prioritizes among these quarterbacks?
Don't hurt the team. Listen, the defense is really good or has the potential to be really good. Let's look at, and I know I'm going way back, but let's look at the San Diego Chargers of the 1980s. They were built on offense with a defense that wasn't very good. Dan Fouts had to take chances with his wide receivers, Jefferson and Joyner, and Kellen Winslow had to take chances. But even if Fouts made a mistake, next time he was on the field, you're still going to take those gambles because most of the time they pay off. Mm-hmm. For the Broncos, mistakes can kill you because you can make the case they don't have the quarterback right now that's going to score a lot of points for you.
Yeah. Best case scenario, if you're
Brett Favre made a ton of mistakes.
Right.
He made a ton of mistakes a quarterback.
But they had a dynamic offense to the point where they could wiggle their way out of them. Whereas for the Broncos, kind of the best case would be kind of like what the New York Giants tried to win with Bill Parcells in the 80s, right? They were better when Phil Simms wasn't making mistakes. And when Phil Simms stopped making mistakes, all of a sudden they became a team that contended for Super Bowls.
Well, listen,
they
also had Otis Anderson, a terrific running back.
And they had LT on defense, and they had Harry Carson on defense. They kind of met that Hall of Fame threshold on the defensive side for most of that time, which is where the Broncos may not quite be.
Very rarely, I think, do you see a dynamic passing offense matched with a great defense. Because when you have a dynamic passing offense, your defense is going to be on the field a lot longer, and they are going to get worn down. But let's look at great defenses and what they had in common. Tampa's defense back in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Great defense, work done, Mike Allstott. The Ravens, historic defense. What did they have? They had a very good running game, right? Mm-hmm. You look at the Seahawks, 2013. Great defense and Marshawn Lynch. Russell Wilson was good enough, but he was young.
Yeah.
He was only about a year into the league. Even the Chicago Bears, although the Chicago Bears were a little bit different in 1985. Do you know they had the highest scoring offense in the league that year, or at least they were top three?
Yeah.
Their defense was fantastic.
Walter Payton, that was toward the end of his career, but he had a great season. And Jim McMahon, his problem was durability.
Oh, yeah.
But when he was healthy, he was one of the better quarterbacks in football.
Right.
The problem was he just couldn't stay healthy.
And when you run the ball more, in theory, you are going to throw more interceptions than you are going to fumble the ball. Mm-hmm. You control the clock. You keep your defense fresh. If you score quickly, your defense, no matter how good it is going to get worn down.
Yeah.
And then if you turn the ball over, then it's really going to get worn down because now they're on the field even more.
There's a pretty...
And you can't run the ball because you find yourself playing from behind. And then your quarterback, who might not be that good, is forced to throw the ball, and that goes to the defense's advantage, the opposing defense's advantage.
There's a pretty clear... It's pretty obvious from what Pat Shurmur is saying that the success equation for this Bronco team involves a very good defense, which you hope can become great, and the offense not turning the ball over, protecting the ball. And Teddy Bridgewater, in the last 4 years, is in the league's top 10 at avoiding interceptions and fumbles, whereas Drew Lock is in the bottom 10 of that same statistic.
I'll tell you what encourages me. For some reason, the Broncos get Aaron Rodgers. Now they potentially have everything.
Because they have the quarterback who doesn't make mistakes, but he's also dynamic.
Correct. And then you have a really good defense and a potentially very good running game. Then, even if the Broncos do score fast with an Aaron Rodgers, they have a terrific defense. But I would think, for as dynamic as Aaron Rodgers is, Pat Shurmur would want to control the ball a little bit more and burn some clock to keep Fangio's defense fresh.
He can, but at the same time, one of the things that Rodgers has always done well
never is, the ball over.
Right, if it's not there, he throws it away and says, we're going to live to fight another down. That's the interesting thing on Rodgers and why he's been so effective is that he brings that dynamic, explosive component, but if it's not there, he's rarely going to take the unnecessary risk, which is...
But here's one
reason why the Broncos would be are very intrigued in it.
But here's the interesting thing about Aaron Rodgers. He loves to throw the ball deep. He doesn't like the underneath stuff. He has recently with Matt LaFleur, mm-hmm. right? But when he was with McCarthy, his passes averaged in his heyday, 8.2 yards a pass, 8.3, 9.2, 7.8, 8.7, 8.4. But when you look at his touchdown interception ratio, mm-hmm. it's breathtaking. 412 touchdowns, 89 interceptions. That, what is that, 5-1? Or 4-1?
It's more than 4-1.
You know who's better than that? There's only one guy that's better.
All time?
Yeah.
Who?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But
Mahomes entered the league. But the standards have changed so fast that he entered the league literally at a different time than Aaron Rodgers did.
I understand that.
That's why, if you look at Aaron, now take a look at Aaron Rodgers, say, post-2014, and his TD interception ratios are like 38-5, 31-8, 47, 16-6, 25-2, 26-4, 48-5. And if you actually look kind of over the 3 years that Mahomes has played, Aaron Rodgers' touchdown to interception ratio is 99-11. It's 9-1.
Right.
And that's reflective of kind of where passing is today. Obviously, that is an elite number, but a 9-1 touchdown interception ratio, coaches adore that. And Patrick Mahomes, by the way,
right.
like Aaron Rodgers,
right.
is another quarterback who knows when to fold him. He's one to take that throwaway because to these quarterbacks, 3rd and 10, no problem.
Coming up after the break, what if I told you before the playoffs, no Chris Paul, no Kawhi Leonard, no James Harden, no Kyrie Irving, no Jamal Murray, no Anthony Davis. Sound like a playoff you'd really want to watch? Well, I got news for you. We will have a new world champion. And with all of these guys banged up, I don't know if any of them are going to win it. How is this happening? How are all these guys and why are all these guys getting injured? We'll talk about that next.
So I can't even speak. Gonna get high, man. Listen to me.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us. MileHighSports.com. You can reach us. Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Twitter feed at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. And also don't forget to download our app, Mile High Sports, to take us on the go. Of course, you can listen in your car, 98.1 FM, 107.5 HD3. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending is presented by Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Drive in style and luxury in a Lamborghini, Maserati, McLaren, or many other exotic cars at Denver Exotic Rental Cars. Rent for yourself or give a rental as a gift at DenverExoticRentalCars.com.
Okay, according to a radio report down in Phoenix, Chris Paul has tested positive for COVID, although he did get the vaccine, and now he is in the COVID protocol. James Harden, Kyrie Irving, they are injured for the Nets. Kawhi Leonard reportedly could have a torn ACL, and no word if he's going to play again in the playoffs, and I don't think he's going to. We know about Anthony Davis with the Lakers, and of course we definitely know about Jamal Murray missing the entire playoffs with a torn ACL. But let's start with Chris Paul. Let's say he tested positive before the Nuggets series, and he can't play. How does this series look?
Go 6 or 7.
So funny. I talked to Chris Dempsey today on the phone, who's going to be joining us at 5:15. That's exactly what he said.
I think the Suns
6 or 7.
I think the Suns win, but I think it's nip and tuck.
Devin Booker's the best player on that team.
Yeah.
Chris Paul was the best player in that series.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the dynamic is completely different. Now, the thing is, there was, as we saw in games 1 through 3, there was so much separating the Nuggets from the Suns that as great as Chris Paul was, I don't think it would have turned all three of those losses into wins. But it might have turned at least one of them into a win and probably would have turned game 4 into a win.
We're going to have
been 2-2 after 4.
We're going to have a lot of new teams, or at least 2 new teams. Yeah. In the NBA Finals, possibly 4 spanking fresh new teams in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. Teams that, you know, generally speaking, when you look at the NBA playoffs, you can look at 2 or 3 teams and say, well, they're going to be there for sure, right? Mm-hmm. This year, obviously, very different. So, Chris Paul, let's see how long he's in the COVID protocol. Mm-hmm. We know about Harden. We know about Irving. Now we know about Kawhi Leonard. Anthony Davis is out. Jamal Murray's Nuggets are obviously out. Do these injuries at all take away from whoever wins the title? I liken it like this. Mm-hmm. Let's just go back, I don't know, let's go back 15 years. 15 years for the sake of argument. Mm-hmm. And you are the then San Diego Chargers. And you make the playoffs. And your first round game is against the Indianapolis Colts with Peyton Manning. And your second round game is against Tom Brady and the Patriots. And your third round game, in order to get to the Super Bowl, okay, mm-hmm. is the Pittsburgh Steelers with Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
And all of those quarterbacks are injured. All of them are. And you wind up going to the Super Bowl and you wind up winning it. They are the Super Bowl champs. They are hoisting the trophy. But do you really look at them in the court of public opinion as the Super Bowl champs?
Well, they're the Super Bowl champs, but you'd say that they...
I'm just saying in the court of public opinion.
That you'd say they got a fortunate draw. To a lesser degree, when Washington won the Super Bowl in 1991, that was the year in which Joe Montana missed the entire season.
Still had to play the Bills.
Right.
And the Bills were loaded.
They were loaded, but the NFC was a minefield back in those days.
Yes. Like,
this was sort of the apex of the, if you win the NFC, you're the best, you're going to win the Super Bowl.
It's like, where did Mark Rippon come from, right?
But remember that year, Joe Montana missed the whole season with a back problem.
Right.
Steve Young missed part of the season, which meant the Niners had to go with Steve Bono for a while.
Right.
And because of that, they had a 10-6 season that was good, but they missed the playoffs on a tiebreaker. Randall Cunningham, a great quarterback at that moment.
Right.
He tears his ACL in week one. That right. ends his season
right
out of the blocks. And I mean, nobody and people don't begrudge Washington that title, but they had a window that opened to where in the NFC playoffs, instead of facing the Eagles with Reggie White and Randall Cunningham and Jerome Brown and the 49ers with Montana and Rice.
Okay.
They faced Atlanta and Detroit.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Nuggets first round series is against the Lakers. Anthony Davis doesn't play. Second round series is against the Suns. No Devin Booker, no Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. Starting backcourt gone. Yeah. Nuggets can relate to that, right?
Yes.
And then in order to get to the NBA Finals, Donovan Mitchell is hurt. And then you finally get there, and it's only Kevin Durant waiting for you and not Kyrie Irving and James Harden.
Or because of that, you're not facing them. Maybe you're
Hold on, let me just finish.
Maybe you're facing the Hawks that point.
No, I'm saying you face the Nets.
Okay.
Just Kevin Durant. I know what he did last night. And the Nuggets win the whole thing. Yes, they will have won a championship.
And they're still making championship rings.
I get it. So as a Nuggets fan, even as a Nuggets fan, because I can promise you people outside Denver would never look at that as a legitimate championship.
Of course they wouldn't.
But as a Denver Nuggets fan, do you? Because that's what we're seeing right here with all of these injuries.
They can't, yeah. You know, you'd be like, okay, yeah, you were helped, but injuries are part of the game.
No, I mean, but not like this.
The Broncos, I mean, not to this degree, but the Broncos' last Super Bowl run, they were helped out by Andy Dalton getting hurt for the Bengals because the Bengals were right there contending to be the number one seed.
Yeah.
And then the Bengals go into the wild card and they knock Antonio Brown out, so Antonio Brown doesn't play in the divisional round.
Mace, I get your point.
But yeah, these things happen.
Basketball's different. Because
there's
only
players
five players on the court, and we're talking superstars.
Yes.
And all of these guys currently are out. So,
I get what you're saying, but they're still going to call you champions.
No, I know that, but how do you feel about it?
Honestly, from a Nuggets perspective, having never won a title, like, hey, fine, we got lucky at the right time.
Right. Because honestly, it's the same argument with Embiid got hurt, LeBron got hurt. And Jokic won the MVP.
Are you saying the Nuggets are at full strength in this equation, that Jamal Murray did not get hurt?
Yes.
Okay. Because if they did this,
Jamal Murray's perfectly healthy.
Okay. Because if they did this in this environment and Jamal Murray was injured, then he'd be like,
that's amazing.
Their own thing too.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I'm saying Jamal. Will Barton's healthy. Everybody's healthy.
Yeah.
They drew the long straw. Everybody's healthy for them, and everybody's hurt for everybody else. The stars are.
Yeah.
You feeling good?
You're feeling.
Or does it feel a little hollow?
That hollowness will last for about 10 minutes. You're feeling good that you won a title for the first time in the history of the franchise. That, yeah, the planets aligned for you,
yeah.
But they've never aligned before. I mean, because if you really kind of dive back into Nuggets history, I mean, you can say you ran into the Lakers at the wrong time. Or, you know, if David Thompson doesn't shred his knee and get addicted to cocaine, who knows?
But this year is different with all the injuries. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Well, the Rockies are doing the right thing these days. They just swept the Padres on a Charlie Blackmon walk-off single. We will talk about that next. Also, might get into a little history in the golf world. That's all coming up right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Little ditty about Jack and Diane.
Welcome back, Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason, watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Jack Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. It is approaching dinner time, and don't forget, top of the hour, we are giving away $20 to Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Just had lunch there last week, got the meatloaf, the smoked meatloaf, with that balsamic glaze that was just so stinking good. Got some great sides as well. You can find Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew really all over the state, but in the Denver metro area, North Denver, or where I go, off of Arapahoe Road in Centennial. With that, I want to bring in my friend Dave from Smokin' Dave's. How are you, my friend?
Good. How you doing,
Eric? I want to talk to you about a couple of things, but I don't want you to give away, you know, family and trade secrets here. You can taste the smoke in the ribs, in the wings, in the meatloaf, in the brisket. What is your process behind it, and what makes you guys different than everybody else?
You know, I mean, we start, again, with great products. We source our wood with a certain amount of moisture in it, and we kind of get it stoked in the smoker for a period of time at a certain temperature until the smoke starts. You don't want black smoke; you want kind of a nice colored white smoke coming out of that wood, and then that's when you don't get the bitterness of that smoke. You kind of get the sweetness of it. So, you know, prepping our product, you know, prior to the smoking process with our rubs and marinating them overnight, and then getting them into a nice prime smoker. That's kind of our key.
Okay. Now for sides. You got to have great sides at a barbecue place, and I've had so many great sides. I'm just going to ask you, how do you make those barbecue beans? Because I hate barbecue beans, and the only place I eat barbecue beans is at your place.
You know, we use a lot of our trim from after we trim our briskets and our pork butts. After we have certain things that we add to the beans, so it's kind of a catch-all. We add some nice smoked bacon, and it's just it's just a matter of love. The right amount of sugar, the right amount of sauce in there, and slow cook.
Wait a minute! I knew you added stuff from like the brisket and the pork. I didn't know pork. I didn't know you added bacon too. Really?
We actually add bacon, and we actually add our jalapeno sausage, our jalapeno cheddar sausages as well, that are house made as well.
I had that sausage for lunch about 6 weeks ago, and man, that was so stinking good. Tell everybody about that sausage, because you're going to describe it better than I can.
Well, it's got fresh jalapenos. It's got a nice mild cheddar cheese in it. It is a pork sausage. And we use all natural pork in it. We use our proprietary spice rubs. We actually have a co-packer, Continental Sausage, here in Denver. They actually make it for us to our specs, and it's our recipe. And we use all natural casings on it, and it's just fantastic.
I know this is going to sound nuts, because when you go to a barbecue place, dessert is a chocolate chip cookie probably made by the owner's wife, wrapped in saran wrap, and that is your option. I wanted to get the Creole pudding last time I was there, but you guys were sold out of it, so went with the apple pie, right? You guys have this.
We do an apple cobbler, yeah.
Apple cobbler, and you know what? I opened it, and I'm like, this looks nothing like apple cobbler, and I was pleasantly surprised, because I'm glad it didn't. It was like piled high. And what the hell was in there that was so good?
It's nice and gooey. We start with a Granny Smith apple, and we mix it with brown sugar and butter, and then we top it with a strudel topping with, again, brown sugar. We crumble butter and flour into that as well, and we just bake it till it's nice and crisp.
Were there, like, craisins or cranberries in there?
Actually, we do use a craisin sweetened dried cranberry in as well. Yeah.
So good. All right. So we talk about your locations in the Denver Metro, but now that the weather's nice and people are getting out, I know when you drive up to Estes Park and you drive up to Rocky Mountain National Park, I mean, you are getting hit with Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew on your drive. Where are you all over the area?
Well, like you mentioned, we are in Estes Park. We have two locations in Estes Park, one on the 18-hole golf course and one in town. On the way up to Estes, we're in the gateway to the Rocky Mountain National Park, and we're in Lyons, Colorado. We have our great...
Oh, did we just lose you, Dave?
You're passing through?
Say that one more time, Dave, where you guys are. I know that you're on the drive up through Lyons, right?
Yeah, we're on the drive up through Lyons, and then you can also hit us in Longmont as well.
Is it kind of, before we cut you loose, is it kind of fair to say that if you're planning on going for a nice long hike up in Estes Park, don't stop at the one in Lyons, because when you have the ribs and the mac and cheese and the beans and maybe the chocolate peanut butter pie, you're not going to be in the mood to hike?
I think we're going to be able to fuel you pretty well, give you some good energy to hit that altitude.
Just be
prepared. If you do hit our Estes one, we do have a long wait up there during the summer.
Well, I know. It's right off the golf course. We've been there, right? It's great. You walk in, You get a cocktail, and then after your round, and it's not a very long course, then you sit down for a great lunch or a great dinner. Head on over to Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. We're going to give away $20 in the second hour of the show. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Eric. Bye-bye.
Bye. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Are you ready? Presented by Denver Distillery. Their sweet potato vodka, bourbon, rum, and gin has a smooth and clean taste. Find Denver Distillery off Broadway in Denver or buy it at your local liquor store. And if they don't have it, demand it. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it and it ended just as our show was getting started here, the Rockies have swept the Padres at home on a Charlie Blackmon walk-off single, which scored Trevor Story. Story had stolen second, so some great base running there. Can't tell which is hotter right now, the weather here in Denver or the baseball team that plays at Coors Field. Is this series sweep more about the Padres losing or the Rockies winning?
I'm going to give it to the Rockies. They won. Listen, they're still 13 games under 500. They're not challenging for anything, but it's a nice little feel-good story with a bunch of wins cobbled together after 8 straight losses over 10 days between the Nuggets and the Avalanche.
And the other thing is, as bad as they are at home or on the road, this is a good home team. I mean, this month they're 7-2 at home. Overall, they've won, I believe it's 10 of their last 12 games at Coors Field. It's a team that has become very competitive, at least giving the paying fans something good to watch. I mean, if you're gonna be bad at home or on the road, I guess you'd rather be bad on the road and let your home fans see something positive.
All right, that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, try before you buy. You can walk into any store and try out the appliances before you buy them. And their sales staff, they've been there for decades. I mean, when you're making a purchase like this, you're going to have a lot of questions. You need to talk to people who have the answers for you. Unlike the big box stores, you buy a stove, and then that same guy is going to sell you an iPhone protective case. That's not customer service. You're going to get that over Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton. You can also find their clearance center in Denver. Coming up after the break, we are going to talk about minicamp, mandatory minicamp day 2, and we have some breaking news coming out of the Avalanche organization. That's next.